Good evening. As I said this morning, I had announced I was going to speak on worship, and we are. And I've entitled this, Did Anything Happen? Let's open our Bibles to Hebrews 12, and we're going to read verses 18 through 29. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire. You have not come to darkness, sadness, and storms. You have not come to the noise of a trumpet or to the sound of a voice like the one the people of Israel heard and begged not to hear another word. They did not want to hear the command, if anything, even an animal, touches the mountain, it must be put to death with stones. What they saw was so terrible that Moses said, I am shaking with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands of angels gathered together with joy. You have come to the meeting of God's firstborn children, whose names are written in the heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all people, and to the spirits of good people who have been made perfect. You have come to Jesus, the one who brought the new agreement from God to his people, and you have come to the sprinkled blood that has a better message than the blood of Abel. So be careful and do not refuse to listen when God speaks. Others refused to listen to him when he warned them on earth, and they did not escape. So it will be worse for us if we refuse to listen to God who warns us from heaven. When he spoke before, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once again I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once again clearly show us that everything that was made, things that can be shaken will be destroyed. Only the things that cannot be shaken will remain. So let us be thankful because we have a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We should worship God in a way that pleases Him with respect and fear, because our God is like a fire that burns things up. Think about this. We read about what was probably one of the first and most awe-inspiring assemblies of God's people. At Mount Sinai, we don't know how many exactly, though they say probably between 1 and 3 million people were at the mountain, surrounding the bottom of the mountain in their tents. They were there to hear the Word of God. And what did they see? Something awe-inspiring. The mountain shook with the word of God. There was fire. There was thunder. If an animal even touched the mountain, it died. The people were frightened. Even Moses said, I tremble with fear. That day they received the Ten Commandments. That day they received the word of God. And the people were influenced, because that assembly influenced the people of Israel throughout their entire history. What an assembly. There were other moments that shaped men and women's lives in the Old Testament. Moses encountered a burning bush that didn't burn. That moment changed his entire life. Isaiah said he went into the temple and saw God sitting on a throne. The seraphim, I can't even say that word. The angels were around him. It's much easier. And they were singing. That says his hem of his robe, it filled the whole temple. And the words of Isaiah, woe is to me. Isaiah was changed forever. The centuries have passed and we still assemble before the Lord. In fact, the most obvious thing we do in the church is we assemble to worship the Lord God. Many of us may never have had such an experience as these men. But yet we do experience sometimes awe-inspiring moments. I remember when I went to Freed Hardeman, I was used to Plymouth, a small congregation. Can you imagine chapel at Freed Hardeman where over 1,000 students were sitting there and singing? But even more than that, something that influenced me even more than chapel were the devotions, the student-run devotions in the dormitories and the one that was brought Friday night. I think also about those times where I went on summer campaigns. I probably would never have gone on a summer campaign had it not been for LB, who took me on my first campaign, even though I didn't do anything and was afraid to even speak to anybody. It influenced me. And the summer campaigns from Freed Hardeman, even though we were in small groups, just the experience was awe-inspiring. And it had changed my life. It may not have been a Mount Sinai experience, but it was a high point. I was moved nonetheless. And I'm sure many of you have had such experiences. The reality, though, is that we do not have these experiences week after week as we assemble to worship God. Does that mean that nothing is happening in our worship? Our pulse may not always rush. And we may not see the mountain shake. We may not sound like angels as we sing. But is that really important to God? We may not say, "I tremble with fear." But does that mean that we shouldn't? No one can repeat mountaintop experiences week after week. But people still assemble every first day of the week. They assemble in church buildings. They assemble in houses. They assemble in mud huts. Many assemble outside in the weather because they cannot afford a beautiful building with air conditioning. But they do what Christians have done for centuries. They read the Bible. They sing. They pray. They share the Lord's Supper. The style of worship may vary from culture to culture, but these things are the same. And they happen week after week after week as we worship our God. Sometimes the setting is not very pleasing. Some of the places we met in Germany, when I first went to Germany, some of those buildings were really gray. I thought, wow, when they built them, they were dirty. But the problem was from the smoke of burning coal. So drab buildings with coal heaters, it wasn't pretty. But God's people met there. So sometimes they're not always pleasing to the sight. Not everybody can afford an air-conditioned building, can cut themselves off from the outside world that they might worship quietly and in peace. But we still assemble. Does that mean nothing is happening in our worship? We have a critical problem in our Western society. That problem is we are saturated with entertainment. We are saturated with change. We are expecting excitement. We're expecting change. We're expecting things to happen to make us just feel, wow. Look at the movies, what they can do. Amazing. Theater pieces. Those actors sometimes are fantastic. I took Marianne and we watched My Fair Lady in Germany, and I thought, wow, they're really good. Even though they were singing all singing in German. All the songs I knew, they sang in German. But does that mean that nothing is happening in our worship service? Members come sometimes with high expectations. But the fact is, our services are predictable, unchanging, week after week. But does that mean we need change? Does that mean nothing is happening? We think sometimes also we go into sports arenas. We watch the excitement of a game, the electricity that's in the audience. Just watch them do the wave. I don't know, do they still do the wave? Where everybody goes like that all the way around. They just keep doing it. It's exciting. I don't know, have any of you been to these big games, even high school games? The excitement is there. But yet, it's not in the church. And so we think something is wrong. We think nothing is happening. Is it any wonder that football stadiums in America have been compared to modern-day cathedrals? Here is the world of entertainment where everything seems to happen. And so these people come to church and are bored. They come to church not understanding what worship is about. And they think nothing is happening. But does anything happen in worship? We must desperately recapture, or we think we must desperately recapture that mountaintop experience. But do we need that? It's the question. Someone said, but check out the literature. What do we read about? What seems to be that most asked question at the moment? What do we need to do to make our worship service better? That seems to be the big question at the moment. And do we need to do anything to our worship service? How do we make them more attractive? How do we ensure that something always happens for the members, that they keep on coming and are happy? So what do? We change our sound systems. Some have put on stage productions, choirs, pianos, organs. Is this the answer? To make something happen? Some even change the furniture. Some have even imagined putting just one pew in the back, and as it gets filled, that the pew comes up front, and the next pew appears in the back. Just some amazing thoughts. But does changing the furniture, does changing the form of worship, will it make a difference? Will it make people excited? It is a good thing to want to renew worship. It's a good thing that we want to excite people about worshiping God. I know that many of us are looking for that experience that leaves us in awe. And it's a wonderful feeling to be in awe of the Almighty God. But I believe there is a dimension that is missing in this conversation. Today's scripture addresses this issue and it reminds us that this problem is not new. The members of this church that was written in, the Hebrews was written to, was probably a small house church. They were probably Jewish Christians and they were getting tired. They were getting discouraged. And what do you think they were thinking about? Back at the temple. Things were happening there. The priest in their ornate clothes and just the people being in awe of the priest. They had the choirs that sang and there was the smell of incense in the air. You could hear the animals making their animal noises. You could hear the priests doing their priestly activities. You could hear the trumpets being blown. Now that's worship. And they look at their little house church. They listen to the singing and the preaching and they say, nothing is happening. The enthusiasm, the fire was gone. But now the years have passed. And some were apparently asking, is it worth it to stay in the church? Is it worth it to continue to assemble week after week? And apparently, from the scriptures in Hebrews, many stopped attending or only attended every once in a while. To make matters worse, the listeners of this letter were facing hostile neighbors. They were facing hardships. And they were probably thinking, if only something was happening at church to strengthen. If only something would happen to let me know that I'm doing the right thing by worshiping God in this way. To face the struggle and weariness of a long pilgrimage with Jesus would be perfect if only I could feel something. If only the church service would be so overpowering that they could know for sure that the struggle was worth it. Is that not how many speak today when they talk about worship service? And when they start changing everything? I suspect the author of the Hebrew letter addressed his message to people who were barely making it to worship. The writer then speaks a word of encouragement. He says, you have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire. You have not come to darkness, sadness, and storms. You have not come to the noise of a trumpet or to the sound of a voice like the one the people of Israel heard. We, the church, the assembly of God, have come to something greater. We have come to Mount Zion. Like the author says, you have come to Mount Zion, the heavenly temple. Which is better? That earthly temple or the heavenly temple? So something is happening. As we sit here and as we worship, as we hear the message of God, something is happening. We have assembled before the God Almighty. Whether we feel our pulse racing or not, God's people are experiencing something. We cannot see it or touch it, but we are experiencing something marvelous. In worship, we encounter the invisible God. As the author of Hebrews said in an earlier chapter, chapter 11, verse 1, faith means being sure of the things we hope for and knowing that something is real even if we do not see it. Even when we feel or see nothing, we are in the presence of God Almighty. He's here tonight with us. Whether we see it or not, He is here. The author of Hebrews does not say that something might happen when we have professional performances. If we get a stage crew in here and they put on a wonderful Christian thought, will that really improve anything? Will it change our experience? He does not say that something might happen because of our own creativity. What he said is, you have come to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. The power of worship does not depend upon us, but on the God who has come near in Jesus. I am not saying that we should not give thought to worship. I'm not saying that we should not try to improve worship. Nor do I suggest that we start changing the forms of worship. But the fact is, we have come to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. And our worship is not limited to these four walls. Imagine what takes place in worship. We join in worship with the heavenly world. The text said the angels were here worshiping God. We have joined the angels in worship. We are worshiping God Almighty right now with the angels in heaven. In worship, we come before God, who is the judge of all, and Christ, whose blood speaks to us. Something is happening tonight. But worship is more than that. We worship with the universal church. We meet with the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. We join with our brothers and sisters throughout the world. When we fellowship on first day of the week, we are fellowshipping with Christians throughout the world. When we share the Lord's Supper, we are sharing the Lord's Supper with Christians throughout the world. Not just those that are assembled here. We are not alone. In countless languages, in countless lands, all of those who call upon the name of the Lord are worshiping with us this evening. We worship God with the universal church. But worship is more than that. In verse 23 it says, "You have come to the spirits of good people who have been made perfect." Worship is the occasion when we recall those who have gone on before us. The great cloud of witnesses that we know throughout the Bible. But what about those from us? I think on LB. I think on Patchuk. We are worshiping this day with LB and Patchuk. Something is happening. We join with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, as well as all the teachers who have taught us in the past. Worship is the occasion for joining with them. And worship is more than that. He says, "You have come to Jesus, the one who brought the new agreement from God to His people, and you have come to the sprinkled blood that has a better message than the blood of Abel." They heard the voice of God on Mount Sinai. It shook the ground. But do you know what? This evening, you are hearing the Word of God being spoken. The ground may not be shaking. Maybe if we all jumped up and down, it might do something. But the thought is, you too are hearing the words of God Almighty. And Jesus' words are more eloquent than the voice of Abel as he cried up from the blood. We may not hear the voice of God as it shook the earth, but we hear the voice of Christ as He speaks from His Word. What an extraordinary experience. Our temptation with any extraordinary experience is to become accustomed to it. You know, I always wanted to live in the Rocky Mountains to see those beautiful mountains. I love to go see mountains. And when I was in Oregon and Washington doing campaign work, I would wake up and look out the window, and you know what I saw? Mount St. Helens. Of course, before it blew up. But can you imagine the beauty of that? And I can remember, here was Mount St. Helens, there was the Puget Sound. Oh, beautiful. But you know, I asked the people I lived with, "Man, how do you feel always being able to see these things?" And they said, "Oh, we don't even think about them anymore. We've become accustomed." We have become accustomed in the church of hearing the Word of God. We have become accustomed to thinking, yeah, God is here, big deal. But it is a big deal. Something is happening in our worship service. We're the ones that make it unordinary. But it is something extraordinary. The greatest wonders easily become routine for us. And when they become routine, we are tempted to think of this privilege only in terms of what it means for me and not what it means for all of us together. The church universal. But the author of Hebrews has a reminder that worship is not about us. We want, what am I going to get out of it? It seems to be a very popular American term. But it is not about us. Verse 25 in the New American Standard Bible. See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less we will escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. The God who provides these privileges is the one who summons us to recognize that He is the consuming fire. To worship is to come in awe before the Creator and Judge of the world. Worship is not about us. It's about God. When we come before God, something happens. What do you think about worship tonight? Has it become ordinary? Or have you forgotten that we are in the presence of God Almighty? Have you forgotten that we are in presence of Jesus Christ? Have you forgotten that when we worship, we are joining the angels in heaven as they worship? Have you forgotten that when we worship with the universal church throughout the entire world? Have you forgotten that when we worship, we join those who have gone on? Elby's worshiping God today with us. This is Pat Chuck and all of those who have gone on. Have we forgotten that? Do we need to renew worship? Yes, we do. Do we need to change worship? No. We need to renew our hearts and remember what we are. Created beings who need to worship God in awe. We should sometimes shake in fear and tremble as did Moses and Isaiah and others of these great people of the past. When we worship God, brothers and sisters, something happens. Do you need God this evening? Do you need to renew your heart to worship properly? If you do, then come as we stand and sing.